Okay, I'd like to call to order this meeting, regular fire commission meeting in San Juan County Fire District Number 3 on July 12th, 2022. Can I do a roll call?
Sure.
I know I can do a roll call. Can I get anybody to reply to my roll call?
I can go through that for you. So, Chair Cardinale.
Here.
Vice Chair Olson.
Here.
And Commissioner Colley.
Here.
You are all accounted. Okay.
Fantastic. Okay. Are there any additions or changes to the agenda, Chief?
No. Unless you all have any as commissioners, there are none.
Okay. Very good. Do we have any, have we received any citizens' correspondence or are there any citizens' comments?
Hang on one second. We have some fire members that are in the room and no other citizens.
Okay. Did we get any correspondence this month?
We did not.
The past month.
No, we did not.
Okay. Very good. Okay. So we'll move on to our consent agenda and doing the approval of the minutes for our regular meeting on June 14th, 2022. If there are no corrections, can I get a motion to approve the minutes for June 14th?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for June 14th.
And I'll second them.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Are there any comments? Hearing none, take a vote. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay, passes unanimous. All righty, let's move on to bills and payroll. What kind of money did we spend this year, this month?
A lot
this month. So on the bills, what I wanted to do is kind of go through and give you some of the highlights that you've got so that as the call outs for this last or the ones that you're approving. The majority of the ones that are the larger dollar ones are some annuals. So the ESO properties, fire incidents, the annual fire procedure supplemental from Lexapol. That was 6,800. The ESO is our reporting system. That was 3,000. You'll notice that about $460 to Croson's. We had some new members that we needed to get some uniforms for. The $8,700 for hose and ladder testing. So that's complete. You see a $2,000 ones to MEM Enterprises, and it was the assistance on the Spring Street fire. That's what we use for the heavy equipment. That is also being submitted in for reimbursement from the insurance agencies on that one. Those are the big call outs that we have that are out of the ordinary, but those with the exception of the support on the Spring Street fire are all planned annual expenditures.
Okay. Either of the commissioners have any questions about the bills?
Just one out of curiosity, not questioning the bill. The hose testing and ground ladder. What, uh-huh. I thought we tested the hoses.
No, the reason we don't, we have a company come in. One, they're more economical. And when you test your hoses, because you have to test every foot length and ladder, what happens is because you have to draw it up to each of the attack hoses has to be held at pressure 450 PSI, which is way over where you normally want to do. So what ends up happening is either you break hose on your own, you can't fix it, and or you wreck your rigs because you're holding that pressure for so long. And the company comes in and they have a pressure manifold, way more efficient. They unload it, they test it, they reload it, and then we just take care of it and we make sure we rotate the stuff through. So it's much more economical to do it this way.
You've been doing that for 10 years now, Bob?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just hear about hose testing and I think thought we did it ourselves.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, there's actually quite a little number of places that actually still do their own hose testing just because of the personnel cost and damage to the equipment.
Okay. Question, that was strictly a curiosity question.
Sure. Yeah. Anything from you, Albert?
Any questions from you?
Nope, I'm fine.
Okay, I have a question about the fuel bill this past month.
Uh-huh.
And Is that in line with what it's been, or does that seem a lot higher than?
So you were on page three?
I believe, yes, page 3 of 5.
What you will see is that higher one, the 2700, is we've been out on mission in the vessel, so it's more expensive than it has been just because of the amount that we've been out and about. Otherwise, the regular fuel is what we've been doing. So you've got a little bit more because we've been out on the water, but for the most part, it's up because we're talking $6 a gallon round off. So
yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. I don't have anything else on that. About the payroll. Commissioners, any questions on the payroll? Well, actually, do I have a motion to pay the troops? Somebody make a motion?
I'll make a motion to pay the bills.
Yeah, the bills.
Okay.
Payroll, I mean.
So did you want to do payroll or bills?
Bill, that's right.
Oh, I'm sorry. We were on discussions of the bills. I didn't take a vote. So let's take a vote on payment of the bills. All those in favor of paying the bills for this month?
Aye.
Aye.
It's unanimous.
Okay. All right. Bills are paid or being paid. Okay. Now we can move on to the payroll. Do I have a motion to pay the payroll?
It's your turn.
Oh, okay. You'll make it up. All right. Make a motion that we pay the payroll as submitted to the commission.
Okay. Do I have a second?
A second.
Okay. So I have a motion and a second. That's the nice part about being the chair. You don't have to make a motion. You can let everybody else do it. Okay. Any discussion about the payroll?
I haven't got any. It looks good to me.
Yep.
Looks good to everybody. Okay. There was something I wanted to take a look at. Nope, there isn't there. Okay. I have a motion and a second. And so we'll take a vote. All those in favor of paying the payroll?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Payroll passes. Okay. I see we have no new business under old business. Chief, we have the safe boat bill time update.
If I could, just for a moment, if we could go backwards, Assistant Chief Bishop was able to make the meeting and he's in the room. I'd love to have an opportunity both for you all to meet him either virtually or in person and give Chief Bishop a warm welcome from us. And if he'd like to say anything to the commission, he's welcome to do so. Welcome, Chief.
Can you hear me from back here?
Yes, I can.
Okay. It's nice to meet you all. I think I know the great majority of you. TJ Bishop, I've been here since June 1st. I was recently the EMS and safety chief from the fire district, one down in the Long Beach Peninsula. So the water's not completely foreign, but being on an island certainly. So question has been kind of floating around. Yes, we found a house. We closed on the 18th. And finally sell my house. It's, as you all know, been kind of a challenge, but it's pretty much contingent. So so just been kind of manipulating that all day. Probably the biggest thing I just want to share is kind of like I've shared with, you know, the command staff here that I'm obviously not from here. I understand the history. I get it. But I'm here to collaborate and move forward. And I don't come with any preconceptions or anything else. You know, I'm charged with making sure that our own staff is able to provide the best care for the patients here on the island as humanly possible. And that's really all I'm really focused at. So, and then it obviously involves the fire district as well. So I really don't have any ulterior motives. I'm very transparent and very straightforward. So probably comes from my 32 and a half years in Army service, but some people kind of say it takes a little while sometimes to kind of read what I'm thinking, but I'm pretty transparent. And again, I'm blessed to be here. My family will be up here in a couple of weeks. I have a wife and two special needs children, so we'll be living over on 96 Grover, right down the street. So, but yeah, if there's anything, and we've all been kind of doing this already, but we're already to the point that, like, we're already hanging out at each other's stations, eating meals together, you know, that sort of thing. We have you know, a lot of territory to cover, but I'm in here for the long haul. So, we'll kind of leave the floor open if you guys have questions for me.
Well, on behalf of the Fire Commission, I'd like to welcome you to the island. As a fellow previous Californian, I can tell you it's a lot cooler, and after a while, you're really going to appreciate that.
Thank you.
Commissioner, anything else you'd like to say?
No, just welcome. And
nice to meet you.
Welcome to the fray.
Thank you.
Chief and I, of course, have known each other since he's been here, so it's been a pleasure to to deal with him, because what he says is he's straightforward and goes right to the point, about as transparent as you can get. And so if you want to know something, ask, and he'll tell you. So or he'll tell you, and that's the way it should be. So again, on behalf of the commission, welcome, TJ, and gonna be a good road. I'm definitely in favor of that. So
thanks for that, letting us go back there, Mr. Chair. So back to you.
Okay, so we can go back to old business.
Okay, so wanted to do a quick update on where we are with our Safe Boat build. And timing wise was good. Just got an email today from Mark Stott, who we have been working with at Safe Boat. And he says that our production schedule shows that we will go to the release to router, which means that all the aluminum has been ordered, and they go to the router to start cutting on November 9th. And then they'll get it cut and built and otherwise. So they appear to be on track for that end of first quarter, beginning of second quarter of 2023. They did want to validate a couple pieces in our build plan. One of them, we had talked about the adjustment, so we have that track. So we will be communicating back that yes, we definitely want that trolley system that we talked about, that they're engineering to make sure that we can do good, safe patient movement. The Garmin AIS transponder that we had looked at, they have a new upgraded model, so he's upgrading, making sure they're changed that so we have the most current model. There's no change in pricing. And then what he noticed is we did the adjustment in the mate seat, moved it back a little bit and customized it around. They had the bill for materials that they had in was about $1,200 for that modification that we wanted. They forgot to include our shocks, 2150 shock mitigating seat. And what he's asked is that he wants permission to update that line item to include that shock seat, which is a $5,200 seat at their cost because they missed it. And he just wants to have it reflect appropriately that it's in the build so they don't miss that part. That's the quality and why we were so confident in working with Safe Boat. They've been very upfront with us about stuff and making it work. So that's the latest update. It should go to cutting, as I said, on November 9th of this year. And so delivery is still on time as we're looking at. They still are holding as when they get delivery of the Yamahas. That's the only piece that's out there. The other reason I wanted to have it on this is Commissioner Olson had asked, do we want to look at maybe getting into a relationship with the bank now and have it sit? Upon further conversation, the recommendation would be let's wait till one after our engines are paid off, which is again in November of this year, and then plan, since it's not going to be till end of first quarter, first part of second quarter next year, let's get into the relationship after the beginning of the year. We can plan forward with what we want to do, have a little more substantive discussion is do we want to do a shortened like 4 or 5 year payment plan as opposed to a long one for the purchase, and we can have a little more dialogue right after the first of the year would be the recommendation. Wanted to bring it to you all. We have some time on it. Be happy to answer any questions.
See, this is in B to the amount that we pay for the monthly fire truck bill. Just put it in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes time, when the boat comes up, then we can finance, because that money is going to be, it's basically, pardon my expression, but free money that we've got. We put it in the bank, and then, you know, 4 or 5 months worth of that. Mm-hmm. And then we go, that's where we go for a loan. We can go for a loan several hundred thousand dollars less than we're going to need.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it makes sense not to do anything at this point and just save the money, put it in this a special account for it, and then go ahead and.
The only thing I might add to that is the fact, wherever we go for a loan, it's going to be, loans are always based on the 10-year treasury. And I think around the first year, we should talk to whoever we're going to be, talk to whoever we're going to be loaning from and get their best opinion. Is that 10-year treasury going to go up or going to go down? I'm, you know, just something to think about. I know when we did the engines, when we did our loans, but from Key Bank, it was 2 points over the 10-year treasury.
Yeah, we'll reach out to the local banks.
Right now, the 10-year treasury this morning was 2.91.
And we'll reach out to Savvy Bank, which is trying to stay local. All the people we had worked at Key are basically went to Banner, which are now over at Savvy. So we'll start there and we'll explore out and bring you all some options.
Sounds great.
Okay, any other old business, Chief?
No, sir.
Okay, let's go on to the staff report to start with financials.
Okay, financials before you. Over here, we'll start with the budget to actuals year to date. Obviously, this is through the end of June. Target is 50%. You can see that revenues are at 72% of our 2.88 million we brought in, 2,085,000 expenditures. We are at 45% of our overall budget. We're in line. And as you know, you saw some of the annual stuff coming in. So we're showing personnel expenses at 47% of the budget, materials and services at 47% of the budget. That check and balance is the loan bank payment, which is at 50%, and that's in line. And our capital projects on the reserve is at 10%. So overall, ending fund balances in the actual revenues minus expenditures, we have $938,292 on the budget actuals year to date. Going specifically into the month of June, fund balance, as you can see, general fund is at $589,099. Reserve fund is at $346,238. And that capital bonds one just always maintains the amount of payment. You'll notice at the top, took direction from Commissioner Colley a few months back. The very top verbiage reports actually give anything that is a call out. So on the overall, interest returns remain low, but all funds are within the adopted budget amount. For the financial overview for June, target of 50% for the year, where we're continue to research the impact of inflation before we make any staffing changes, as we mentioned last month, and we're continuing to analyze that and watch call volume. And otherwise, what we've noticed since last month, the tourists that have come on island seem to be a little low, right? We would have expected a little more. 4th of July was a little light. Want to see if that trend continues before we pull the trigger. Assistant Chief Monin and Training Officer Kutzing put together some plans on some things we may be able to do to focus on some of the projects that are out there, which could give us a little bit of augmented staffing, but we haven't finalized, or they haven't finalized the presentation to me yet for us to pull that trigger. So for total fund and assets, we brought in $959,000 as our total fund assets, and our total liabilities was $204,000. Specifically talking revenues and expenditures for our funds, we brought in $28,691. That includes any taxes, any contracts, which we didn't have any that came in. General and reserve fund others, that's going to be, there was a grant that came in, a small trauma grant for the state that everyone that provides service gets. And the light interest, all of that money that we had reported on, we got $98 in interest. So that still remains scarily low. Expenditures, we are directly in line, both personnel and materials and services, with that capital fund expenditure of $3,000 a month, which is the lease payment for our safe boat, which is, I would remind us all that when those are done and we buy the new one, that's all directly applicable to reduction in that cost. So be happy to answer any questions on the financials year to date and or specifics for June.
I'm fine. I'd like the way it looks.
I've got a question. I know we talked about this before, the interest that we're getting. I guess there's nothing we can do about that.
That is correct. It goes into the pool account and we have zero impact. We can't move it elsewhere. We can't move our money elsewhere. It's what the county has that goes into the pool account. And as a junior taxing district, we have no say over our interest.
Okay.
We wish it could be otherwise, but it's not.
Yes, we do. Please. Okay. Anything else?
Not on financials. No, not on financials.
Okay, we can move along then.
Chief Monin, ops report, please.
Yes, Chief. So before you use the June 2022 monthly ops report, we have a total of 83 responses for the month. 57% were EMS and rescue. All the others were 43%. That's an average of 2.8 calls per day. We had a reaction time for the month of 1:28, which beats our 90-second benchmark. Good job to the crew getting out the door and getting on things quickly. I made some adjustments based on your recommendations last month. So on travel time, I removed the outer island and the out-of-district response time. So that is an average travel time for the month of 7:36 for all on the main island response times. If you go down to June total responses by station area, you can see a further breakdown of call volume. Obviously, headquarters areas got the largest call volume, and then we have one outer island out of district response. The June travel times by zone.
Out of district, I don't recall what.
Out of district, we had a fire boat or a fire call on a boat fire by Decatur Island.
That one.
Okay. Yeah, we did. And that was a significant time. You can see on the June travel times by zone, the graph I made for you. There's a note there, it's reduced the range just so it's visually more appealing. The out of district bar actually would be way higher, or everything else would be much smaller and you wouldn't be able to read it. So I shortened the range and it's kind of anomalous for that one. But essentially, that gives you a good breakdown of our response zones, including outer islands and out of district. The other note on that is on the outer island, it was a single response. It was to Brown Island, and we actually had a 4-minute response time, but that's because the caretaker that lives out there is a member of the fire department. So he when he's there, he can keep our response times really low. The out of district call to the boat fire over by Decatur was over an hour response time. June minimum staffing was met. But just to note, call volume did drop in June of this year compared to June of 2021 by 23%. And as Chief said, we're watching that. We'll also be getting some data from the town of Friday Harbor soon, the hotel motel tax fund, the stadium tax fund. That actually counts heads on beds, and it's a good indicator of what's going on. My assumption is we have less tourists this year, so the call volume is showing a significant a reflection of that. Again, average reaction time is below 90 seconds, which is great, and travel times are within range, normal range. Just an update on the CODAN communication system that has been launched. We've been utilizing it, and the new system is presenting performance issues for certain areas in the county, and CODAN and the county have been notified, and we're essentially in a holding pattern right now to see what's going on. CODAN has extended their warranty, initial service work, and they're working on it.
On that piece, CODAN, the agreement is until we are satisfied with where we are, and we have some paging issues, we have some reception issues, we have some feedback issues. Originally, the drop dead date, as we had read it originally, would have been at the end of last month. The conference call that we had between CODAN and the emergency response agencies, we validated that does not start until we're satisfied, and then their time starts ticking. So we still have time to work on this, and they will be working through from that. We are hoping that down the road, CODAN just bought the Zetron agency a little while ago. That's the backbone of how our CAD system does paging and some of the background work on how they delineate what resources are sent out. So we're hoping, this is what we've had some dialogues behind the scenes, not with Codan yet. We want to get the radio system working, but now that Codan owns Zetron, we might be able to have them come in and say, hey, you could be utilizing your system better, and here's some steps you can do to make it more efficient for our responders in receipt of call to dispatching of call and management of resources. So that's the next thing. So we're working on it. Chief Monin and Chief Bishop are strong on this standpoint for this island and our near ones. We'll go from there and keep you apprised.
Thanks, Chief. And then a quick update. I'll steal too much of Carl's thunder, but we did. I just want to report that we did get 17 responders reissued with their wildland red cards. And we just had a peer review committee, and Lieutenant Hartzell just qualified as an engine boss today. So that was a big milestone.
Oh, great.
Other than that, crews are doing their normal routine. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Are we planning to put any boats out this year if they come available?
So actually, Lieutenant Hartzell has coordinated a sign-up plan because staffing's the big issue for that. And essentially what the mission for him was to basically, if you want to go, you got to make it work. And he actually has created a system where folks can sign up to cover backfill while he's off going with someone else or whoever's going to go. But essentially we're covered for, I would say, about half the summer. We have a schedule. So some weeks we're not, some weeks we are, but we just want to ensure we have good coverage.
Okay, that's fine. Mm-hmm.
I just in staffing, and this is, I'm going back to what Commissioner Martinelli's talking about, how about, you know, two people on a fire truck. Mm-hmm. What can we do to get, or anybody do, to get more volunteers to come in and work shifts? Because, you know, having three people available is a lot nicer than just having two. But it's been months since we've had more than two people per shift. And I'm asking, has anybody given any thought as to what can be done to bring more of these people, more volunteers in to do it? Hell, even a 12-hour shift, or, you know, they don't necessarily have to do the 48-hour shift, but a 24 or a 40 or a 12-hour shift, so we can get some more people, and so they get more experience as to what's going on. I know.
So we've been very open with the volunteers. So the first sentence you said work and volunteer in the same sentence. So that's one of the issues. When you do shifts and you provide shift as a volunteer, we provide a fee for service to maintain them as a volunteer. They're not working, right? They're volunteering. So if they start working shifts, then that becomes a different classification. They become employed. So that balance, we've created a system where they do get rewarded, and they get rewarded based on not only doing a shift, but they get at the end of the year, they get it as part of their activity report, and they get an award at the end of the year.
And a stipend for covering the shift.
What's that?
And a stipend for covering the shift.
Yeah, they get the fee for service, so they get a value for that. We also open it up for folks who want to just come in and ad hoc, if they can only do 12 hours or 10, whatever they can do, come on in and volunteer and be part of the crew. My impression and my gut says folks that are doing this to volunteer for the organization, in a large part, work full time, have families, and are limited in what time they have. And it's I think two part. One, it's a product of where we live. We're not a stepping stone fire department. I know fire chiefs that have so many firefighters signing up because it's a stepping stone. It's a mill. They're living in a community where there's hiring going on all around them, and you basically are expected to go volunteer for the smaller agencies before you get hired.
Right.
And he has to turn people away. Other agencies that don't have that are in the same boat we are. They're scrapping to try to get anybody to come in and participate. Unless it's the unique person who's retired and able to take care of themselves and meet their ends financially in our community without having to work, those are the folks that are the most active that I see. You could chart that out and see a very clear delineation on how that works. So, you know, my result on that is, if you want volunteers to volunteer more, you got to pay them.
And basically you lose volunteers.
And you hire them.
You hire them, yeah.
So I would say that this actually kind of ties well into the administrator report and what I was going to mention. We talked about at, when we talked about strategic planning and strategic direction, we don't want to let that fall off the plate, right? So I think we want to talk about how do we do that. So if we want to move away slightly from volunteers and go to more paid staffing, well, that's one way to do it, but that costs. And so where do you, you either get more money or you reduce level of service, right? And I don't think that anyone wants to reduce level of service. I would also challenge us back on, and I completely agree with you, and I completely agree with Commissioner Cardinale, that two people on an engine company isn't the best, three and four are better. At the same time, I would challenge us to look at the numbers, and this will be part of that critical analysis. Are we not meeting the needs by having the two? And we have a number of people that come in for 8 hours, 6 hours. We have one guy will come in for like 4 hours, go off and then come back because that's what it allows him to do. Do they hit? I would love it if we could have all of our emergencies pre-scheduled, because then we would have exactly the number of people that we need on the incidents, but we know that's not reality. So we either have to expend more in wages or we change completely how the system works. There's places that will mandate that if you're a volunteer, you have to provide so many hours of standby time. I think that we would lose members if we did that, right? Because there's no incentive for them to do that. So I think that as part of our strategic direction conversation, and I mentioned it to Commissioner Cardinale that I want to set some dates for that and some discussion items. And I think this needs to be one of them. What is the appropriate level of staffing that we want to have? And then how do we work forward to have that level of staffing? If we want two augmented with volunteers, do we want three augmented? Do we want four? Well, all of those have pros and cons and how we would go about meeting that piece. And I think we have to have a much deeper conversation. If we could flip the trigger right now and have 24-hour a day staffing with three or four, that would be fantastic. The funds don't support it at this point.
Well, one of my major concerns about volunteers is they don't get any skills, they don't get any real training unless they're here doing something, like either going on an EMS call or a fire, fire investigation. What do you do for something like that? Yeah, maybe they have a basic academic knowledge about it, like all of us did when we got out of school. But in order to really be skilled, one has to go out and practice them, or at least see them in operation. And that's one of my concerns, is that they're not getting,
it's a good thing. Yeah.
It's that catch-22, right? It's better for the community if we don't have that active. So that's where the training comes into play, the live fire in the training. No community wants an arson bug, but those are where you have, hey, I've got lots of fires. East Coast has lots of fire because they have older construction stuff and they've got tons of volunteers because they're constantly seeing fire. That's why the role that Carl has in making sure that Monday nights are on the repetitive manipulative skills, that the skill set is competency based and they're challenged with, okay, here's the live fire and here's how you do it. We've been fortunate that, at least in my short tenure, that we've had a number of acquired structures that we've been able to do live fire in. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, when that first one that we did when I got here, I think people were saying it had been
a while,
5-10 years since they had an acquired structure fire. And frankly, if we can get a fire and it's kept to a room and content, well, then one crew gets a little bit of experience. We just don't have the volume to do that. And it's that catch-22. So that's where Carl comes into play hugely, as you well know, that it's how do you divide your training so that the skill set stays high. And that's why fire departments across the country can't get and maintain, because the requirements get higher and higher and higher. They don't get exposed. And we've had, well, take one. We had one of our volunteer, very engaged, became one of our career AOs, gets hired by Seattle Fire. Right. The second he got done with his very first shift, and I don't know if we shared this yet.
Yeah, we did.
Okay, so he came back. So now he's back fully engaged as part of this organization as well. So it's we either churn people and send them elsewhere because we don't have it, and then we try to get them back like Alan, or we rely on people like Carl and the citizens that donate stuff. Or the other piece is, and this is the other piece on strategic direction that I want to talk about, as opposed to having a big training facility where we can do live fire, I think we need to rethink that because of the funding. And we started out as maybe one of the modules that we add to two. So because we can do live fire training by having the containers, and that's how most of the places are going now. You do one, you do two side by sides, and then we can do that and grow it. So then we can do regular live fire training. And I think that the cost return of investment on that, if we put one of those in the county and we get the other agencies to share in the costing of that, we lost points, as you read, because we don't have an active training site in the county. I think that if we can demonstrate that having a live fire training facility within this county, and we've already got a partnership discussed with the port that we have property we can put it on, I think that the return on the investment to the citizen will save them in insurance dollars, which then would get them to support the building of that kind of facility, which will give the volunteers and the career people from that standpoint, even though they're running the calls, we don't have the fire call volume. And that's the highest risk, lowest frequency stuff.
All the emergency responders in this county lack frequency of event. So the volunteers suffer from practice, the career folks do too.
Yeah, but it's, you know, sure, you can go in and have the training, but there's something about going to an actual event when that adrenaline gets pumping,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That it, whether it be an EMS call, and having, or be it a boat call or any of the other calls you get. It's just something a little different about that. Not a little different, a lot different.
Yeah.
I mean, than if you get all the training in the world, because you know the training is, you're not going to get hurt. You know, nobody's going to get hurt. It's not going to fail.
Challenge excited. No,
it's not going to fail. This person that you're going to see, or you're going to rescue from the building, is going to be fine. But in the real life, that ain't so.
So what I'm hearing is let's add that to our list of strategic direction stuff, because I think that, because nowhere in this county will you get that. What we have to do, and you and I talked about this probably 6 months ago, is we need to reach out to some mainland departments and get relationships where we can trade. They're busy as all get out. They come over here and do some time here where they can go, oh, thank gosh. And we go over there and they get some call volume and some hands-on training, right? So they're responding on it. So that means that it's a relationship that we need to develop, so they get that hands-on. And I think that we can do that. Right. As the canary.
I
agree completely.
I guess a good example of that would be what she's a Marietta department. She's a member of EMS, is Sarah Hill, where, you know, she comes here and it's, geez, this is all you do, you know, basically.
Yeah.
From her previous job, where they never got a night's sleep.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. I think that's the only way we're going to be able to do it, because even if we had people here all the time,
that would thrill me with no end.
I think that's what we need to explore. And we had talked about that. And then other things took priorities. So we will add that, and we'll put that on the strategic direction as part of our dialogue.
All right. Thank you very much.
If there isn't anything else on ops. Fleet, all the, as you noticed, the hose testing is complete. The apparatus engine testing is all done. Pump testing is all done. And moving forward, there isn't anything out there. Tad's working on continuing to check off any work orders that are out there. Administrative report wise, one of the pieces, like I already mentioned, was I'm going to work with Chair Cardinale to set some dates that we'll kick out to you and some discussion items for when we can do the next strategic direction conversation. And then over the next few months, with the goal of having everything updated and reviewed by the end of the year, at upcoming board meetings, you're going to start to see a review of all the Board of Commissioner bylaws. It's time for you to all look over, review, and update as necessary, with the goal of every single one that you have will be reviewed and or updated by the end of the year. Note to yourselves, you'll get some emails on this. The recognition banquet is being planned in partnership with the association. It will be the last Monday in August, because that is our fifth Monday. It's already planned. So we're going to tie that together. Association is going to be providing the food. It looks like right now we're going to be able to use the Masonic Lodge, so we'll be able to do an indoor-outdoor event. We want to include alumni, and then we want to have some recognition and awards at that. So we'll do dinner, some awards, some recognition. It's been too long, so it's going to be bigger than what you've had in the past, Albert, where it was basically the member and plus one. Now we want to have this open. We want family involved. We want alumni involved. And we got to bring people back together because that social aspect is so important. So put it on your calendar for Monday night. Let me get you the date really quick. 29th. The 29th of August is when that's going to be. More to come on details.
Okay.
The last piece I have is the 4th of July parade was well attended and well received. We were able to have the Cadillac in the parade as well as one of our crisis response canines, which was fantastic. You wouldn't believe how quiet the Cadillac was coming down the hill. Tad had it all set up, got it agreed with the town that we're going to use it. We're also going to submit it to be in another one of the events coming up in August. It was running quiet. They pulled it in here to wash it up, and I was like, "Why? This is quiet." It was super quiet because it died on Tad coming down the hill. So he coasted it down the hill till they got around the bottom corner, and then he lit it back up and it was still quiet, but Tad didn't have to wear out his leg with the clutch all the way down the hill. It just coasted and it was way quiet. So it was well attended, looked really good. Tad did great with it. Lieutenant Salinas was ringing the bell on it. Good membership attendance for it. And the, attendees that were on the street sides loved having Ruffles, one of our canines that was interacting with all of them. So it was really well received and well attended. That's all I have on staff reports. Be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from any of the commissioners?
I have none. Thank you.
Okay.
Just training's going well. We had good attendance last night, which was great to see, especially given the way the weather was. Like Noel was saying, we've got our wildland firefighters recerted. And the other thing is that we got all our driver apparatus operators their annual recerts. Hit that way.
So you have how many operators do you have now?
I want to say, I didn't about pull the exact numbers, but I'm thinking it's about 15. That are apparatus, I mean, qualified as driver operators.
That's what we have for you.
Okay. If we do not have commissioners, anybody have any anything else to offer?
I'm fine.
I think we're
okay. Great. Then I guess the last thing that we have to do is to. Is our adjournment. So do I have a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion that we adjourn.
I'll second.
Boy, that was the fastest motion I've heard made all day.
Okay. Thanks,
Frank. Nice out.
Okay. Having said no discussion, all those in favor of adjournment?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, so this San Juan County Fire District number 3 regular commissioners meeting for July 12th is hereby adjourned.